I'm Christopher Lydon. This is Open Source. Around the piano in my living room, we're listening for the balm of tradition in an uneasy transition between election and inauguration of Donald Trump. This hour could sound like a party tape and or a prayer meeting. Key players are Pastor Michael Haynes, who has drawn multitudes to the historic 12th Baptist Church in the activist heart of African-American Boston. Martin Luther King Jr. was Mike Haynes' co-apprentice at 12th Baptist as a Boston University theology student in the early 1950s. And then, in the mid-80s, out of Shreveport, Louisiana, came the prize pianist in the room today, Dennis Montgomery III. 30 years ago, when his wary parents delivered him, age 17, to the Berklee College of Music in Boston, legend has it that eyes met by chance in a Howard Johnson's on the expressway in Boston. Parents looking for a church home for their son, Pastor Haynes looking for a pianist. 30 years later, Dennis Montgomery runs that gospel program at Berklee, the biggest music school in the world, and he makes big waves in a mighty stream of American music. I asked Michael Haynes for a blessing.
I think this gathering this afternoon in Chris Lydon's abode is a wonderful opportunity for all of us to be on Beacon Hill, under the shadow of where 12th Baptist Church was born, up the hill in the African Meeting House, and to be here centered around music. And one of the things that caught my attention coming out of a household where there was music, 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 and music was how much music, music, music keeps popping out of the Old Testament scriptures. Sing, play the instruments, sing, clap your hands, you know, sing it, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And the Pentecostal church, I oftentimes call them the noisemakers, went crazy with this thing about the music and a loud noise and everything else. I come out of a family of musicians and supposed to be adept with the jazz, but I got attached to the church music. A man by the name of William Frederick Fisher, a Methodist evangelist, came to Boston back in 1935. Eventually in 1936, he had a music production at Symphony Hall on Easter morning at 4 o'clock, and I was about 8 years old. You had to stand in line to get to hear this guy, and he was going to introduce the new trends of so-called black gospel music to the city of Boston, where all the churches were trying to act like they were good Episcopalians. They're all acting very, very, very fine. And that started a whole new trend of music. How do you take all these things, inspire people's lives, lift them up, help them when they're feeling down? And this is the whole thing about Mr. Dennis Montgomery from Shreveport, Louisiana. I didn't realize what a tremendous blessing I was going to receive and Boston was going to receive by this talented and gifted young man. And then watch his music grow from a teenager to where it is now spreading itself all the way around the world. It's a wonderful thing to know that in every form of this music, there's something to guide you, help you, challenge you. And I hope that you can be inspired by this music. And I hope it touches you and makes you feel good, excited, hopeful, and somehow, to take the words out of one of those old traditional so-called Negro spirituals, you know what I'm saying? There must be a God somewhere. We pause, O God, and thank you for today. Thank you for rays of hope in a tense and troubled nation. And may the music and the musicians bring something in our lives this day that honors you and makes us feel better. These things we ask in your name and for your sake. Amen.
Dennis Montgomery has said to me that he heard this music in his mother's womb. By now, he has lived the full range of gospel tradition out of Mahalia Jackson's Louisiana to school in Boston and gigs now all over the map. I asked him, is there any explaining this gift and how it came to him?
You know, I would say blame it on God. But secondly, it would be my parents. I used to always watch them play the piano and organ. Usually my mother would be on the organ, my father would be on the piano, and I was just a little kid watching them, and I would watch the people respond. And I would say to myself, when I grow up, I wanted to be just like that. And of course, through my parents' influence, you know, they said, if you're gonna do this, son, then you're gonna know how to do everything. You just don't want to just to play gospel or R&B, no, do everything.
Hmm. It sounds strange, but it sounds like Johann Sebastian Bach and his children. I mean, but also I wonder, did your parents teach you fingering, harmony? Where did this come in?
Well, put it like this. The fingering, I got tapped on my hand a lot. And I'm going to tell you why, because I rarely use my pinky. Very rarely. My mother would make threats to me and say, if you don't use your pinky, I'm going to get you off of that organ.
Wow.
You know, you're not going to play that piano no more if you don't know how to use that pinky.
How does one use one's pinky?
Well, I kind of cheat because my hands are a little big. Well, no, they're big. And I have a good reach. So, you know, I use my pinky if I'm trying to get a fifth or sixth note. You know, just to give the chord a little bit more color.
Dennis, there's so much range in this music, before and after Thomas Dorsey, and in various stages of his life, so many people have shaped it and changed it and bent it and popularized it and done different things. How did you find your path in terms of style, in terms of meaning, in terms of presentation?
My first organ idol was the late Reverend Charles Nix. He was the pastor of the St. James Church in Detroit, Michigan. And I used to hear a lot of his recordings on the Shreveport radio, your radio station's down in Shreveport. And I said, I like what I'm hearing. And my father pretty much did the same thing because he was the more aggressive organ player. You know, my mother, she was more or less the classical, traditional, you know, organ player or musician.
What would he sound like on the piano?
As far as like Charles Nix, let's see. If I had a B3 here, I could really show you.
What did you learn at Berkeley, if anything?
I accomplished my goal there. More of a understanding, you know, of the theory, what I was doing here, or should I say what I already knew how to do, you know.
It worked in practice, but the question was, did it work in theory?
I know, right? I know, right? You know, I had every intention of perfecting what was already pre-installed, you know. And Berkeley helped me to do that, I have to say.
This is too big a subject, but I always think Sarah Vaughan learned so much of her music in church before she got deep into jazz, and everybody did. But speak of the other great influencers and great models and stars or innovators.
Well, my second organ idol was the late Billy Preston. At that time, he was, you know, out in L.A., you know. Billy Preston used to be an organist for the Beatles, and he played for pretty much almost everybody on this planet, you know, be it rock, R&B, or gospel. In fact, I think he started out as James Cleveland's organist, if I'm not mistaken. And I think even he studied up under Charles Nix for a while, because even I could hear some of the Nix influence in his playing.
Can we hear a taste of it?
Think of traditional gospel as the Thomas Dorsey, Clara Ward, Mahalia Jackson, and, you know, the older masters of gospel. I mean, we have early Hezekiah Walker, early Kirk Franklin. Of course, James Cleveland, he was overlapped everywhere because he's like traditional and contemporary. I can't leave out the Hawkins family.
Yeah.
You know.
Just remind us some of that. I mean, didn't they do...
Happy Day.
Remind us.
Sure.
I should say also, we sang this song at Ted Kennedy's daughter's wedding in Hyannis.
Sure did.
Remember?
Exactly.
I got to say, you said to me after the ceremony, we were going to the Kennedy compound, and you said, Chris, are we going to see Jacqueline? And I said, I think we are. And we saw her under the tent. That's Jacqueline Dennis. Let's go. Let's go right over and say hello to her. And we walked straight at her, and by the time we got there, she was gone. Do you remember that?
Right, I remember. That's okay.
But it reminds us of Oh Happy Day.
Just so you know, this song, Oh Happy Day, came under much scrutiny when it first came out. Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because they felt it sounded too secular. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for those of us who know Oh Happy Day is very simple, and it's just a rearrangement of the old hymn, which originally went like this. I'm quite sure y'all all remember that, right? You know, that's the old way. Of course, when Edwin Hawkins came out with it, it went like this. Oh, happy day. My sins away. Oh, it's a happy day. One more time. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Where Jesus washed. When Jesus washed.
Coming up, there's a Jewish synagogue musician in our midst to testify that to be human is to love gospel music. This is Open Source. I'm Christopher Lydon. This is Open Source, drawing on the blessed assurances of gospel music. It's the foundation, some say the soul, inside rock, hip-hop, rap, arguably all of American pop music, and it is still the root language of praise and worship in African-American Christian churches. My friend of three decades and a lot of singing together, Dennis Montgomery, brought a few of his students to my house over the holidays to remind us of gospel's range and power. Kwame Nkrumah, who's 22, was happy to tell us he is just finding his way through an old traditional tune.
A hymn that kind of met me at my lowest, called Over My Head. And there are a couple verses, but the verse that stuck with me is the very first one. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. There must be a God somewhere. And it got me through some dark days. And it still does.
Right, speak to this young man.
I just need to add a word. He's a very, very special person. His dad was one of my choice dreams of a theological student. His dad came to America to study in seminary. He worked for the YMCA. He touched hundreds of lives in Roxbury. His dad did while he was preparing and working on his own degrees. And after he completed his studies, got an opportunity to get a national position in the churches of Africa and was traveling. And he lost his life in a sudden plane crash. He's very, very rare, and the richness of his talent, and as he dealt with the issues of life and losses and changes in this great so-called Negro spiritual, Over My Head, I have trouble in the ear, but there, the bottom line, but there must be a God somewhere.
That was Kwame Nkrumah, just out of Berklee College, and his own version of a tune, Over My Head, made famous by the Wings Over Jordan singers on the radio more than 50 years ago. James Baldwin adapted it in the title of his last novel, Just Above My Head. Jonathan Singleton at the piano is going to invite his bandmate, Lance Martin, to join him on flute. Jonathan came to Boston and the Berklee College from Philadelphia.
From the land of Jimmy Smith, John Coltrane, among others. Introduce yourself, Jonathan.
Good afternoon. My name is Jonathan Singleton. I am currently blessed to be the minister of music at the historic 12th Baptist Church, where Dr. Haynes is the pastor emeritus. You've been hearing a lot about gospel music. In 2016, gospel has gone through so many changes since whatever you would call its inception. It has very separated now eras of gospel. And you've heard some very traditional gospel mixed with some very contemporary gospel. And you also hear stories about people coming up in the church. I started out in the church, some famous singers, dancers. I started in the church. And so you can always hear the church in their music, even though it might be singing about other things. There you go. Once the church is in you, the church never goes out. Wherever you play, whatever you do. So if I'm in the concert hall or in the club, whatever style of music I'm playing in, the church always sort of comes out a little bit. So I came to gospel kind of late, actually from hearing people like Dennis Montgomery play the piano. And I came from a church where you really couldn't play. That was okay, but... Oh, you get the looks. You get the looks, you get the eyebrow, you get the lectures. So it's such a blessing to hear that kind of freedom and know that the gospel could mean so much more than that. So in this time of change and upheaval, gospel's for everybody. So that's my last word for you. Gospel's for everybody. It's for everybody, and it's for you too right now. All right? So that's why we sing this.
And so we put our hands together for Jonathan Singleton. David Spahr is the exception at our party, but he's not a token. He's our Jewish gospel pianist from a landmark synagogue in Brookline, Massachusetts.
Somewhat late in life, I became involved with religious music, but I became involved with Jewish music. I'm a music director at a synagogue in Brookline, the one with the big dome on Beacon Street. Maybe you've seen it. It's a relatively new congregation. It's about 175 years old. So it's a different tradition than the gospel tradition, obviously. Even if you have never been to a church, if you grow up in this country, you're infused with gospel influences because it's so much of a part of American popular music. I mean, as Jonathan showed with Natural Woman, and I mean, I don't claim to be a gospel player on the level of the other people here, but I love the music. It moves me. And so in my own way, we're not used to people shouting out in the middle of the reverend speak or the rabbi speaking, you know, tell it, brother. You know, we don't necessarily have that tradition. And it's a wonderful tradition. But my goal is small. I try to bring some of that tradition of moving the congregation to a higher spiritual level in what I play. Even if I'm playing something that doesn't sound anything like gospel music, but to try to infuse it with a certain rhythm, with a certain soulfulness. And of course, whenever possible, I try to draw on a little of the gospel influence as well, because people just love it, no matter what their tradition is. I mean, how can anybody hate gospel music? I mean, it's an inconceivable. It's to be human is to love gospel music, I would think. So that's what I try to do.
It's pure magic. It's hard to explain.
And by participating in this, it renews my spiritual energy. It makes me want to go out and change my little corner of the world in any way I can by bringing music that inspires and encourages and gives people hope. And, you know, when I listen to, like, for instance, Kwame play, like, even when he plays one note, it's inspired with so much spirit. That, you know, he was telling me, we had a conversation earlier, and he was telling me, I'm not really a piano player, I can't do what piano players do, but could have fooled me. There's an old phrase in the Jewish tradition that Jesus himself said when he was on the cross. my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is a Jewish setting of those words. Eli, Eli is the Hebrew. My God, my God.
That was David Sparr, as in Sparr's Drugstore on Huntington Avenue at Longwood, where his grandfather made lime rickeys for generations of Boston Latin and Harvard medical students back in the day. Coming up, the jolt that the Hammond B3 organ adds to gospel music. Dennis Montgomery takes us to church next. I'm Christopher Lydon. This is Open Source, a gospel music hour from home so far on my living room piano at a turn in the calendar and perhaps in some spirit of the times. Dennis Montgomery is voicing the gospel classic, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Mahalia Jackson sang it at Martin Luther King Jr.'s funeral in 1968. Thomas A. Dorsey wrote the song in 1932 in his own crisis of grief and belief around the loss of his wife in childbirth. Dorsey had written and played blues before that. From then on, he wrote gospel music.
Dennis,
I love to steal moments and just go to Dennis Montgomery III organ shouts on YouTube. And I have wondered, what is the shout part? Is that, not to change the subject, but I also remember you with Connie Hughes, especially in Concord Baptist.
Yep.
He would do his preaching peroration. He would sort of bring it home. And this is something you do not do, particularly with John Leach, Reverend. But the organist falls into a sort of spontaneous duet with the preacher. And I always remember Connie Hughes saying, you don't need a PhD, you need a BA.
That's right.
You've got to be born again.
Yeah, that's right.
And Dennis would be wailing away at the organ in this kind of intense conversation, preaching conversation with the minister. But what do we call that? Is that what you call an organ shout or not? And do you want to give us a taste of what I'm talking about?
It's more or less a call and response. If you're not saved, you ought to get to know Jesus for yourself. Can I hear you say, yeah, yeah? The crowd would go crazy, and I do. It works better with the B3.
At my piano, Dennis Montgomery kept saying, if I had a Hammond B3 organ, I could really show you something. So on a Sunday morning just before Christmas, we went to church with Dennis at the Holistic Life Baptist Church Ministries. It's in what used to be a house on what Malcolm X remembered in his autobiography as Sugar Hill in Roxbury, overlooking downtown Boston. All around us, people are moving, halfway dancing in excitement and expectation. You can feel it building in an extended moment of this holistic life service. The congregation is feeling the spirit. Some of them getting happy, as the saying used to be. When it's over, people have been known to say, we have had church.
So why should I be bound? Thank you. Now, as we prepare to leave, bless us. Keep us in your care. We thank you, O God, for all that you've done, for all that you continue to do. Now, help us and bless us. It's our prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Now, unto him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forevermore. Let us all say together, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. My youngest has traveled here to spend Christmas with us. Yeah, say it, praise the sign.
My hallelujah,
it belongs to you, Lord.
To you.
My hallelujah, it belongs to
my
you.
My hallelujah, belongs to you.
Come on, tell the Lord, my hallelujah.
My hallelujah.
It belongs to you.
Fantastic. You.
Oh, yes. My hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs to
now tell the Lord, you deserve our closing song.
You deserve it.
Come on, tell him, you deserve it. You deserve it.
You deserve it.
You deserve it, Lord.
You deserve it.
Deserve.
You deserve it.
All that you've done, you deserve it.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
I love this song.
My hallelujah belongs to
hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah. Somebody said it's the highest praise. And it belongs to you.
My
Lord.
Hallelujah belongs to you.
Here's from me to you. My hallelujah belongs to you.
My hallelujah belongs.
Come on, tell the Lord as we close. You deserve it. You deserve it.
You deserve it.
Maybe David Sparr said it best, our gospel pianist in the synagogue. There is something in this music that renews spiritual energies we barely understand, but let's make the most of them. And as David said, let's each of us go out and change a corner of our country. Thank you, Dennis Montgomery III. Thank you, Reverend Michael Haynes, and the praise team at Roxbury's Holistic Life Baptist Church Ministries, and their pastor, Reverend C.L. Jones. Thanks to our supporting musicians, Jonathan Singleton, Kwame Nkrumah, David Sparr, Lance Martin, and not least, Jerome Thompson, who kept time on the drums throughout this hour. Our show was produced by Connor Gillies, Zach Goldhammer, Frank Horton, and Susan Coyne. George Hicks recorded our musicians and mixed the program. Mary McGrath is our spiritual leader. I'm Christopher Lighton. Join us next time on Open Source.